Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'll tell you what's new, Patti LuPone. Patti LuPone resigned Actors Equity. Y'all, it's a special emergency Poodles Broadway Corner.
Poodles Broadway Corner.
Yo, this is a special. It's an emergency episode because it's about Miss Patti LuPone. And I'm nervous and I'm all a Twitter.
This is so gay. This is one of the gayest things we've ever done.
Here's the thing. I thought I was going to talk about this in last night's Single Life episode, but I was so tired I forgot about it completely.
And you fucked a lacrosse team. This is gayer than that. Wow.
I have bought a Barbra Streisand vinyl album.
Whoa.
That's so gay. Y'all, a couple of people have been asking me to. So this is the first ever Poodles Broadway Corner standalone because we just want to throw it out there because so y'all, Carl's wife want to ask, where is it? I need to find out where Patti LuPone is. Yes, Patti LuPone, star of Stage and Life Goes On and Ryan Murphy series, has left. This is very, very important. I want to clarify. She is not technically quitting theater acting. Not technically. However, she is resigning her membership in Actors Equity, which is the biggest, which is the union for actors, stage actors and stage managers, and directors and such like that. Here's the issue. And a lot of us, unless you're a Patti LuPone watcher, like myself, you did not know that she actually resigned from Equity when she left company. More of saying things like, moreover, a kind of an Equity membership that was passed, a kind of a codicil about more dues sharing. Like, in other words, the more you earn, you have to share more money. Now, here's been the issue for Actors Equity for a while, or the issue with a lot of actors with Actors Equity, especially out here in Los Angeles. There's a whole, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, about the Actors Equity versus Los Angeles actors.
That's not even a podcast episode. That's a full, in the same way for SAG. That's a whole podcast series.
No, that's a podcast. Yeah. That's like a series. So there's been a lot of bad blood between a lot of actors thinking, what does Actors Equity even do anymore for us? They made it easier to join, which kind of this past year, which pissed off a lot of people. But basically, that was what she was pissed off. She also made a statement by saying, I don't know how much longer. I'm older. I don't know how much longer I'll be doing this. Now, granted, Miss Patti LuPone has said this about four times. She said this after War Paint, which was the musical about Elizabeth Arden and, God, who was she? The gayest idea, like two makeup designers, Elizabeth Arden and someone else.
What? War Paint is about makeup designers?
Yes.
What? What? It's about Elizabeth Arden and I bet Estee Lauder.
Maybe. I don't know who it was.
Oh, my God. Is that what war? I want to see this show. That is gay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Now who's the gayest?
Shut up. Is it a good musical?
I never saw it. It's by the same people who did Grey Gardens.
Well, I like some of the music from that.
No, I like some of the score is good. I just think it was a little bit misguided of a musical. But that's neither here nor there, so I'm going to give you individual time to research that.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, why can't I be excited? Oh, it's Helena Rubinstein.
Okay. I don't know if that makes a big deal or not.
No.
Who was that? Who was Helena Rubinstein?
I don't know what she, I think maybe she had her own stuff. I don't know what,
But it was Elizabeth Arden. I think that was Christine Ebersole was Elizabeth Arden, I think. And Patti LuPone was Helena Rubinstein.
I don't know what Helena.
Maybe I'm getting those wrong.
Rubinstein.
But it was about cosmetics fighting. Which does sound like the gayest musical ever, starring Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole.
Wow. So
you're right.
That is so.
Everyone became gay in the audience.
I don't know if you guys, if your husband went with you
to see War Paint,
he's a homosexual now.
By the creators of Grey Gardens.
He's a full-on dick-sucking married.
Mincing, choir directing, floral arranging, all of
it. He's fucking the whole entire football. Not just the defensive line. He's a slut. The entire football team.
And the rest-up bathrooms.
Yes. Oh, I knew I'd heard of this. It's Helena Rubinstein. It's her own makeup. They sell it like... it's big in the UK. They sell it.
But there was a feud. There was a huge feud between those two, and that's what the musical is about.
God, I love the perfume Red Door. It smells so good and
classic
and old
lady. There's a whole song called Behind the Red Door.
What? Oh, I didn't see this show. Why have you never told me about it? I am so angry at you. You have this Broadway corner and... Oh, I want to go see War Paint now.
Oh, I got you into the Broadway corner.
I need a video. Behind the Red Door. Oh, my God. My asshole is giggling.
Okay.
We're remote but goat right now, or I would hit you.
We need to actually get into the real meat of the story. You have waylaid me.
You have overstimulated me.
Waylaid me since moment one of this podcast. So I don't ever want you telling me that the corners go on too long because you asked me questions.
I thought War Paint was about like Native Americans and being.
No,
oh, I didn't know.
It is literally about makeup.
They didn't market it well.
I don't think it was marketed at all. They just thought gays would find out about it.
Well, not when you're a gay in Oklahoma.
It's that secret network.
I could have taken the whole Clinique counter at Quail Springs Mall to that.
You're right. That was their market. Even they would go, is this by Andrew Lloyd Webber?
They would.
And by the way, y'all, if you know anything about Miss Patti LuPone, she and Andrew Lloyd Webber have a long, long hatred for one another.
Oh, can't stand one another.
He did not want her in Sunset Boulevard. She did the London thing, the London tryout. She came here. She wasn't allowed to do it because they were fighting. It went to Glenn Close, and then after it finally just never got around to her. But they've hated each other ever since. They bristled during Evita, but. Patty has feuds with lots of people, and sometimes it doesn't matter if, like Arthur Lawrence, if you're dead, she still hates you, because that was Arthur Lawrence who wrote the book for Gypsy, who said, but Arthur Lawrence, God rest his, not really, he was a bitch, but Arthur Lawrence said, bitchy queen, said, as long as I'm above ground, Patti LuPone will never play Mama Rose. And then she did it when the Broadway thing, because they just somehow made up. But then they talk shit about one another afterwards.
They just did it for the money. They both got old.
Exactly.
He said, I need another retirement so I can buy a twink.
So getting back, I don't even know where I am. So I basically, what I want to say is Patti LuPone said, let me read the exact tweet. Now, this all depends on context as well, because we've had quite a 2-week span for Broadway. And let me read the exact tweet. Why is this not helping me?
I don't know.
I thought I had this. Oh God, why is Twitter being annoying? Okay.
Riveting.
She says, quite a week on Broadway, seeing my name being bandied about. Gave up my equity card, semicolon, no longer part of that circus. Oh, what a circus. Oh, what a show. She didn't say that, but I had to say that. Then she's, her last three words are, figure it out.
That
the boy. Most Patti LuPone thing ever, and I can imagine her saying it.
Cut to gays in New York now are all going to be wearing t-shirts that say, figure it out.
Well, the thing, supposedly the most popular that. Theater costume of the year is Patti LuPone's dropped equity card. There's already been lots of gays saying that's going to be the Halloween costume of the year. It's very niche gay Broadway. So what you need to know is that technically she'd resigned from Actors Equity, the union. Now, you're saying, well, that doesn't mean she just resigned from the union. That doesn't really mean she can't ever do theater again. This is true, but y'all, Patti LuPone is not going to do not equity theater. It's not going to do like community theater. So, but there are certain houses like the Hollywood Bowl is not technically a union house. It's on a different contract. So she could do like concert tours and stuff like this. The thing about it is, she's saying she's dropped it. She can, if you're Patti LuPone, you can probably get it back. But I think when she said my name was being bandied about, let me explain that. This has lots of layers. So
you know a lot about having your name bandied about.
I do. In dark corners and whispered rooms. So this past week at Hadestown, Lilias White, who has kind of the replacement for there were several replacements for Andre DeShields, but she was Lilias White, the fabulous Lilias White, who was in The Life and many other shows. And Lilias White, if you're not aware, they have a lot of times for deaf people, they have kind of screen caps that are, you can hold a little tablet or a phone or something like that that lets you know the closed captions. So there was someone who was deaf in the front row, and Lilias White kind of made an issue in an applause break and said, didn't stop the show like Patti LuPone did. We're going to get to that. But she said someone's on their phone or blah, blah, blah. She called this person out, and it was someone who was deaf. And huge deal. People called her ableist, blah, blah, blah. People said she was. Now, was she the thing about this is you need to know the context of where Patti LuPone and Lilias White are doing this, because a lot of in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, people are just on their phones in Broadway houses. I don't know if any of you go to a lot of theater, but it happens, and it's super fucking disrespectful. So that context, that when Patti LuPone was happening to her, that was when it first started happening. I'm going to go back to that, put a pin in that. But when this happened to Lilias White, see, I told you there's lots of layers here.
Oh, God.
When this happened to Lilias White, she has not spoken at all. But what happened was on her Twitter or social media, people basically were saying horrible, racist. She is a black woman, I should say. She's a woman of color. Like racist and ageist stuff to her, saying, you're so old, you don't understand when someone's using this for this, using a closed caption machine. Now, what happened next is where things went haywire. And when someone said, this is happening to a black woman. Nothing happened to Patti LuPone when this happened to her. So someone made that jump, and that's when Patti LuPone's name got mentioned.
Well, it's also, we live in the day and age of whataboutism.
Yes.
We have to compare everything to something that's not,
But here's the issue. Both these issues could not be, both these incidents are different. And I'm going to tell you how. People have been saying it's the same thing. It's actually not. They're very different. Now we're going to go back in time to when Patti LuPone started doing this. This was in Gypsy.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Okay, so the first time this happened with Patti LuPone, this was in Gypsy, as we mentioned before, that revival. So there were people taking pictures during a performance, and there was a cultural thing happening where people were, I don't know if you remember this, there was a play where a man got up and tried to plug his phone into the socket of a set of a play that had been going on to charge his phone.
Oh, I remember that.
To a stage. So this was a thing that was happening in the aughts. People were using their phones in view of the performers, taking pictures. Patti LuPone hated that because she said it was very distracting to me. I get very distracted when that happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was happening, and Patti LuPone was saying stage management was not doing enough, or house management was not doing enough to prevent it. So then when she saw someone taking pictures, she stopped the show and said the Immortals, stop taking pictures, blah, blah. That was that rant. The Immortal rant, people loved it because it was very Patti LuPone. Also, people were a little, in the theater community, were outraged about this. So
yeah,
there was a general feeling of performers not feeling safe on the stage from people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what was happening in the zeitgeist then. Compare that with now. Very different. And so calling Patti LuPone was a hero then. Now, what she was doing, now it actually turned out that was someone from a magazine that Patti LuPone, they had hired to take pictures. Now,
oh, really? I didn't know that part.
I never knew that either. Patti LuPone did not know that or either forgot it. But so it was still a photographer. Then you have this. Lilias White had no idea this person was deaf. No idea they were reading closed captioned. But this is coming from this culture. Now, Lilias White is someone who's a little older as well. She's coming from a culture of like, why are you on your phone? You're paying, you're front row. This woman was very close in the front row as well. So
And I didn't know. I mean, she works in it, so she should know. But I didn't know that they did that for Cloak. For
they do.
Fashioning. I didn't know now, they gave him a screen or anything.
Here's the issue. It seems like no one apprised Lilias White, house management or management of the theater, that there would be someone in the front row with closed captioning or a caption machine. That's all that would have needed to happen. Yeah. So it's a failure of management. Do I think actors and performers should call out people from the stage? I'm someone who does it. So like when I at our live shows, I will call out people. It's a different thing than being in a Broadway show, though. I probably would not stop the show. However, but I want to make clear, it is on management to make sure this doesn't happen. This is the fault of management of the theater that this happened. But the issue here is the deaf person who made this happen went on Twitter and told about what happened to her. And she said, I was humiliated by Lilias White. And so that's what happened when Lilias White got a lot of flack. Then the person still made another post saying, please don't do this to Lilias White. You should not come at her and shame her for this. She probably had no idea that this was happening. So at least that was there. But the initial shaming is there. Now, so there's a very layered structure here. I think these incidents are very different. Number one,
Lilias
they
White is so happy that Patti LuPone decided to quit Equity.
Right.
Because totally like... No one cares about what Lilias White said anymore.
But I'm saying the difference here was this was a person who has a disability and they were mocked unknowingly by someone on stage.
Yeah.
Versus someone who was telling, who were shaking pictures. These two issues, these two incidents could not be more different.
It's the
and
most,
to compare them, it's not fair.
It's not a good use of whatever.
And I'm not saying that Lilias White, because of the color of her skin, is not getting a harder time than Patti LuPone, because she is.
But
to compare these two incidents is not fair. It's just not correct, really. So I want to, by someone say, what about when Patti LuPone did this? And I think people should be defending Lilias White because she did not know this. But most people are condemning performers for coming at actors or coming at audience members anyway. Honestly, here's what I think. Get off your fucking phone. We wouldn't be having these problems if you weren't on your fucking phones during a performance.
You've already paid.
Yeah.
You've already
paid. We would not be having a problem even 15 to 20 years ago when Patti LuPone grabbed someone's phone out of a production and wouldn't give it back to them, which I loved. I'd love that if any performer did it. And I know that's probably not something that's safe, but I'm fed up with this shit.
That's not safe. But I feel like when we have our live shows, I feel like when you come into a performer space, it's not, you are a guest. You are a guest in someone's house. And I agree with you. Get off your fucking phone. I do not want to shade anybody who is. What's happening is, again, with technology, everything is happening so quickly, and people are playing catch up. Where I think in just theater in general, house managers need to now know. I know you don't want to single out people that are deaf and need. But actually, you do need to let your performers know that.
Yes, you do.
Because that is very different than than somebody who's just on their phone, because it's so rampant everywhere you see it.
Well, what I saw on social media, which was the most disturbing thing, was maybe theater should evolve. Phones are everywhere. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? The latest Jack White concert, he made people put their phones in a bag. Why are you okay with that? And not okay with putting your phone in keeping your phone in your purse in a Broadway production?
No, what it is that people need to learn to manage their anxiety and not look at their phone for 2 hours.
Right.
And not.
Well, I'm saying what I saw was, not to make this into an ageist thing, but a lot of younger people were saying, maybe we need to evolve. Maybe we just need to deal with the fact that phones are around.
Well, then I could follow that. And this is putting on therapist hat and just reading articles that younger people are dealing with anxiety and daily stressors not as well as the older generation.
Right.
Because they're used to instant gratification. They're always on their phones. They're used to the dopamine hit that comes from getting the like, which older people are too that get into that.
But right.
One could argue and say that the younger generation, and I don't mean this as a fuck you, but more like the problem societally is, are we because of technology, are we developing a younger generation that literally can't sit with themselves for 2 hours
without
looking at technology?
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily their fault because we haven't given them a roadmap of how to do
right.
that.
But here's
fuck y'all.
Here's what I want to say. Ending. If you're in a show, don't look at your fucking phone. And if you're in the front row and I see you looking at your phone during a live show, you can take pictures. But if you're like texting and blah, 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 I'm going to call you out for it. Just because there's a certain level of respect for the stage. There's a contract between me and you when you're on that, when I'm on that stage. I'm there and I'm trusting you and you're trusting me. And as soon as that phone comes up, that contract is broken, and I feel not only do I feel like you've broken the contract, you've disrespected everybody around you, and I feel like shit a little bit.
Actually, yeah, I don't care about it. When I see that phone, I feel like when I'm performing on stage, it's probably one of the most personal things I could ever do. And so when you're looking at your phone, it makes me feel like you don't care about me.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, is your gay emergency Patti LuPone Broadway Corner update for today. I hope that has been, besides the talk about war paint.
Let me know where war paint is, y'all. Let me know if it's on tour. I need to see this.
Oh, it's gone. It's long gone.
Oh, no.
That was like 2010 or 12 or something. No, it was probably like around 12, 14, something like that.
No.
Yeah, it's done.
It's not touring
done.
Anywhere.
Never to be done again. Never. No. No. No.
But it's based
Broadway
on a documentary
shit right now.
Oh, it's based on a documentary film called The Powder and the Glory. Oh my God. I've walked into a world.
We need to move on. And y'all, until next time, turn up. Ooh, until next time, Maddie. Turn on the ghost light.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll see you next time on Poodle's Broadway Corner.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.